This is the Patriots All 22 podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots All 22 podcast, powered by the CLNS Media Podcast Network. I am Evan Lazar, joined as always by Adam Kirchen, and today we have a very special guest with us. It's Brad Kelly from Cover One, the wide receiver guru. We had the quarterback guru on last week with Mark Schofield. This week we got Brad on to talk wide receivers with us. I'm extremely excited for this. Brad, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. And I want to get right into it because we have a ton of names that we want to throw at you and just see what you think about all of them. So the first question we wanted to go with is just in the first round, if out of the big three, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs, and Jerry Jeudy, which receiver do you think would fit the Patriots the best, or do you want on the Patriots the most as a Patriots fan?
Well, Henry Ruggs is my guy. I think that his speed alone is game-breaking. It affects defenses in ways that CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy's skill set doesn't affect defenses. It stretches them, demands double teams, demands extra safety help, which in turn, when they have a player with two safeties, it means you're going to be plus one in the box when you want to run the ball. And on top of that, I think he's an underrated route runner. I think he's underrated with his hands. He only had something like one drop over the last – or like three drops in the last 2 years, something like that. So I think he's just an all-around player. Obviously, he has a great speed, but is, I think, underrated when it comes to his all-around skill set. So for me, he's my top receiver in the class overall, but also think fit-wise with the Patriots. He's going to open up those intermediate levels for the guys that they have right now because they don't really have kind of a field stretcher. I think it would fit best with their current depth chart.
Yeah, I think if I were to look at this, you know, it was really hard to not pick Jeudy, but like – I'm a sucker for speed, you know, and just like the game-breaking speed that he brings to the table, Ruggs. He's just a guy that demands so much attention. I think he would open things up for other players on the roster. He's sort of the type of guy that it seems like Patriots fans want right now. A guy who can like be a real deep threat. Who knows what kind of chemistry he would form with Jarrett Stidham or whoever, say if they draft somebody else. I just think he's just – when you got a guy that's fast and that explosive and that productive, it's hard to say no to him.
I think that Ruggs clearly presents the best schematic advantage of that position out of those three, right? The guy that's going to demand the most attention, that's going to kind of – be the most problematic for defensive coordinators to scheme up. I do want to make the case for Jeudy, though, because I think that his ability to run routes out of the slot as well as outside and some of just his route running detail and technique might be a little bit more refined than what they would get with Ruggs. So maybe if Tom Brady was still the quarterback, our answer would be Jeudy, and not Ruggs. But since he's not the quarterback anymore, I can understand why going with the deep threat makes a little bit more sense. But old school Patriot kind of offense with Brady over the last 20 years, I think Jeudy has a good case for the fact that he's probably the most crafty and the most refined route runner out of this trio.
I mean, I think that's definitely – I think he's the best one in the class, not only just the top three as far as the nuance and the details of his route running. And I think I'd agree with what you said if it was still Tom Brady, but not knowing who the quarterback is going to be, whether it's Stidham or somebody else, I think kind of like Adam said, just the schematic advantage and, you know, you pair Ruggs with a young quarterback and I think magic's going to happen.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just going to say, the thing is Jeudy's pretty fast too. Like he gets sort of overshadowed because Ruggs is such a burner, but Jeudy can really run. He can make a little mistake turn into a huge, huge mistake when he gets a step on you. So I think, you pick from one of those three, you're not going to have a wrong answer, really, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was just about to say to segue us is just if they land any of those three players, I think we'll all be ecstatic with that pick at 23. But the next kind of tier of guys here, some interesting names. I wanted to start with Justin Jefferson from LSU, who's a guy that I've been banging the table for the Patriots all draft season. And I'm really curious to hear, Brad, what your take is on him, because I think there's different takes out there on Justin Jefferson. How explosive is he? How fast does he truly play? Where do you fall kind of on the in that sort of conversation?
I'm right in, excuse me, I'm right in line with you. Jefferson's been my guy for the Patriots since the Oklahoma game. And to be honest, I think I was kind of late with him. But that first half was just, I fell in love. You know, it was 3 or 4 touchdowns in one half. And he, from that point on, he's just been the player that I wanted. Now, part of that was I thought they were going to have a 20-year starting quarterback still back, but maybe I was hoping that. But now, if, you know, something else happens at 23, I kind of understand it. But among the receivers that are realistic options, he's the guy I would want. 6'1", 202, played a lot in the slot this past year, almost primarily in the slot, but did take – was an outside receiver when he was a sophomore. More production came from the slot this year, though. But I think that people don't respect his deep speed because Jamar Chase was more of their deep threat, right, who was a boundary receiver. But Jefferson, when he was going on slot fade routes or seam routes, has the speed to do it. They just didn't send him on him a lot. Now, he ran 4.43, something like that. Was a 76th percentile better among receivers in the 40, the vertical, and the broad jump. So I'm not concerned about his athleticism at all. And then on top of that, he caught 111. These are real numbers right now. 111 out of 134 targets this past year. That catch rate is ridiculous. And the impressive part about that is, according to PFF, he only had an accurate target on 69% of those, which means his catch radius is also just like awesome, right? He makes really late adjustments to the ball, pretty consistent hands, had a few drops late in the season, but relatively consistent hands as far as the rest of the year went. So I just think he's a do-it-all guy, first-round pick for sure. And when it comes to my grading scale, and he will be a first-round pick, and that's the guy who I would want above the rest of the class minus that top tier.
Yeah, Jefferson, obviously a guy I've seen a lot, but like it's funny, the watching him play, like he takes such great care in his routes and stuff like that, which is great. But he's one of those guys where you watch him play and you can just tell he loves after the catch. Like he loves making guys miss. He loves getting that extra yard or 2 yards or 3 yards or turning into 30. You know, I think he's just got this thing about making guys miss or shaking them out of their shoes when he's running routes. He just really, you know, will get you more than the play allows. And so I think that's one of the best things about him. Like Brad said, that, you know, he was in the slot a lot this year and very productive, but it's not like he can only work the middle of the field. He got a lot of, you know, deep routes. And, you know, I think, you know, that 3rd-and-17 play against Texas should get a lot of attention because it was a big moment in the game. They knew they were going to throw, and he made a catch crossing the middle, found the sideline, and beat everybody to the end zone for a huge play. And, you know, Joe Burrow gets a lot of credit for that play, as he should. But that was a hell of a play by Justin Jefferson. And so I think he's just somebody who's going to pop. I think you can move him around a lot, and he can do a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying much here, but I definitely think that Jefferson is the most polished receiver they will have ever drafted under Belichick. Just the guy that's the most pro-ready, plug-and-play type of route runner. I went to Christian Fulton's podium at the Combine, and I asked him, how fast is Justin Jefferson in practice? And he laughed, and he was like, I don't know why all these draft analysts are saying that Justin Jefferson's slow. He's like, where did that narrative come from? And I was like, I don't know. I just know that that's kind of the book on him right now, is that he's not very explosive. He's not very fast to win over the top. And Christian Fulton's like, that guy is fast. He can definitely run. And from that point on, I've kind of looked at his game a little bit differently. And the one thing that I noticed that he does is that he almost like walks into his route sometimes or slow plays them. And I asked him, Justin, about that at the combine, and he said that he wanted to pace the route out so that when Burrow is looking deep and then he comes back to the check down, he's not already out of his break by the time he comes back to that, you know, him in the progression. So he might be like the second or the third guy in the progression, with Jamar Chase being the number one, and he comes off of that, and if you know, Justin Jefferson's already three steps out of his break, then he's already too late to the throw. So the point was to pace the route. So you look at the pacing, the spacing of his route running inside, the ability to really get up on defensive backs and get on their toes and break routes off and do things like that, run those option routes and in between the numbers. He looks to me like a guy that would pair really well in the short term with Julian Edelman and then potentially replace Julian Edelman after that once Edelman retires or moves on. Do you think that, though, Brad, that he had showed enough in 2018 to potentially play on the outside a little bit more than he did last year?
I think so. And even beyond what he did in 2018, he was pressed at some points in the slot this past year. And when they were in bunch, which they did a lot of, he got pressed a pretty good amount there. And his footwork is just so crisp. A really like lateral linear mover when he needs to be. So I don't have much concerns about it because he had a full season of play on the outside as a starter, as a sophomore. And then even the reps that kind of the skill set and the traits translate to in 2019 as a junior, he showed even some development in that area. So I'm not really concerned about it, especially if he becomes a full-time starter there. I don't think there's much to worry about. And maybe that's the reason I might be a little higher on him than others, than other analysts, because I don't have concerns about that part of his game. But I think he'd be able to do it with ease.
I think he got the stamp of approval from this trio for number 23 overall right there. Let's move on to another one of Brad's favorites, I would say, and that's Denzel Mims, who tore up the Senior Bowl, Brad, and has really just had about as good of a pre-draft process as you could possibly have, given that he can't have a pro day or any top 30 visits or anything like that. He just has really risen up the draft board since February, or really January. What is it about him that you like? And in particular, do you feel like he's a little bit stiff, or do you think that he is loose enough in the hips and the lower flexibility to be able to make some cuts at the next level and separate?
So Denzel Mims has been like my guy for 3 years since he was a sophomore at Baylor, had a big year, was first team All Big 12. That was kind of when I was like, this is going to be like my guy. This is a first round pick for sure. Thought he was going to be last year after his junior year, but he went back to school. He had some injury issues as a junior. So he went back to school, was healthy this whole season, had another productive year, All Big 12 again. And then at the Senior Bowl, like you said, I mean, he was just tearing it up. He had the best catch rate in the one-on-one drills among all the receivers, which is getting open constantly, but even when he wasn't open, he was finishing. I think he only had like two or three incompletions throughout three practices and one-on-one drills. Big guy, 6'3", almost 210, long, really long limb, long legs. And based on the combine and based on his film, fast. I mean, 4.3 speed, 200-meter runner, state champion in high school. So he's a vertical threat. And I think the bigger issue for people when it comes to his route running, like you said, is he flexible? I don't necessarily think that he is that. I mean, he ran like some ridiculous three cone. That's not his game at all. You know, he's not going to stop on a dime, turn, everything like that. His technique is also a little bit clunky when it comes to that. But a lot of times it just doesn't matter because he is physical through his breaks. He can create separation with his hands. And on top of that, he is such a superior athlete than some of the defensive backs that he's gone against that even if he's a little bit off of this technique, he's still separating. And on top of that, he's so long that when he is able, if he's able to cross face and win inside, as long as he gets his body positioning inside, he's good. You know, he has that because he has the length and the body control, some ridiculous like body control over the middle and along the sideline to really extend the boundary to finish. So not really many weaknesses to his game. I don't think he's going to be the most nuanced route runner. He's not like a double move type of guy, but I think he has enough to work with when it comes to creating passing windows. And then also the vertical threat is going to be there for his whole career.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the thing that I noticed was his catch radius. I mean, the guy, he just needs to be close. It doesn't have to be a perfect pass. And he made some really nice catches on film. I think it was against either Texas Tech or TCU. It was a close game, fourth quarter, and he made some really ridiculous catch by the sideline to help Baylor, win it or, you know, take it at the end or something like that. But he's just, you know, he's just somebody who I think, if he was just a possession receiver, that I think he'd be even worth the pick sometimes. But I mean, his athleticism puts him over the top. He's a really good player, somebody I was sort of late to, but his film is fun to watch and I think he could be a good player.
I think it's crazy that we're all kind of, you know, besides Brad, we're all kind of late to Denzel Mims, right? It really was the Senior Bowl and the Combine that really put him on most people's radar. But this guy had over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns and has had really great production his entire collegiate career. So I think that he's not just a guy that we're projecting that he's going to be a great player because he killed the combine. This is a guy that was a great player in college and then had a great combine. So sometimes you get mixed up in that. I think the one thing is that really he doesn't need to run an expansive route tree, right? Because he's so physically dominant. If he can run a, you know, he's obviously going to be able to run a fade. If he can run like a comeback or a back shoulder and then something underneath the defense, a slant, a dig, a quick post, something like that, just to keep defensive backs honest, because they're all going to be worried about the speed, right? That's all going to be in their head. So if he gets guys to open up, can he cut back underneath it? And there was a couple of touchdowns that he had. You, Brad, you put that great all 22 sequence of all of his TDs from the all 22 angle on your YouTube, and there's a couple of plays in a row where he wins on like a quick post to the inside, and the guys got off coverage against him, and he showed a pretty good amount of explosiveness coming out of one of those cuts and create some separation. If you can do that with his skill set to win over the top and to win with the contested catches and the catch radius, then now you're talking about a guy that can really be consistent. And I think a lot of receivers with his sort of skill set that are successful in the NFL, the guys that come to mind, he's more explosive than a guy like a Dez Bryant probably, but like a Dez Bryant, he runs like three routes, right? He runs a slant, he runs a go, and he runs like a comeback or a back shoulder, and that's it. You know, he's not really doing much else. So if you can work with that, then that's something to be said for that. I really love his nasty as a blocker, too. He's a really willing blocker, and he'll has some blocks on tapes where he just, like, walks the guy right off the field with him, and he's not even anywhere close necessarily to the ball. Brad, last question on Denzel. I just want to – is it a pick that – to you would resemble N'Keal Harry, Chad Jackson, Aaron Dobson? Like, are we just going down the same path if they do this again, or do you think that he's enough different from those guys that it's going to work out better?
I think he's different. I think he's a better prospect than N'Keal Harry was last year. Not to get into that too deep, but I think that he kind of what you said, he has an all-around game because he's able to get vertical, he has enough to get underneath, and then on top of that, he's a great blocker. So there's going to be a role for him on the team, but I just think he's a higher level prospect than Chad Jackson or Aaron Dobson or even N'Keal Harry, while being maybe even a better athlete than Harry, believe it or not, just based on his athletic testing. On top of that too, I love his confidence. I was talking to him at the Senior Bowl, and he said to me, like, people don't remember this, but at Big 12 Media Day in the preseason, he said Baylor's going to be in the Big 12 championship game. Like, people don't – they were about 7-6 last year. And when it came kind of what Adam said in late games, he was just like, we're just going to throw to him. They had a fourth down against TCU, down 7 in overtime, game on the line. Like, we need a first down here, and they threw him a slant, and he scored a touchdown. In 2018 against Oklahoma State, they were down 4 points in the final 10 seconds in the red zone, and they threw him a jump ball, and he scored. He went up and got it and scored. So, like, he is a playmaker. He's a clutch player. He's a confident player on top of being all the attributes as a prospect.
Yeah, I think the one big difference for me just watching – learning from the N'Keal Harry pick, right, is that 4.53 and 4.38, there's a big difference between those two things in the NFL, okay, right? And it looked like N'Keal Harry was fast in college, and then you see him run a 4.53, and then you see him, you know, run against Stephon Gilmore, and you're like, okay, this is not that fast, right? And I think that Denzel Mims will not have that issue. Another guy that probably won't have any issues with not being fast enough is Jalen Reagor from TCU, who I don't think is getting enough kind of talk about for the Patriots right now. He reminds me a lot of like what they wanted to do with Brandon Cooks and Philip Dorsett, but maybe they can do it more consistently or for a longer period of time with a guy like Reagor.
Reagor's interesting. When he was in high school, his senior year of high school, he jumped 26 feet in the long jump. The next best mark in the country that year was 25 feet and 2 inches. So he beat it by 10 inches. He is explosive, needless to say, right? The best long jumper in the United States of America. And then you see him on the field at TCU, and he's equally as successful getting vertical down the field as a Denzel Mims, as a Henry Ruggs, as far as speed goes. Now, he didn't test as well in the 40 as those guys. I think part of it was he was like 208 pounds when he's only 5'11". Doesn't need to be that heavy. I think he was looking more for you know, the strength aspect of the combine. I think he can cut down back to around 200, run in the 4.3s if he really needed to. And so he's that vertical threat, like you said, the Brandon Cooks, undersized vertical threat, like the Brandon Cooks or the Philip Dorsett. But I think the thing about him at TCU was they didn't have a quarterback that could get him the football. So his production was not, like, at all. And I mean at the line of scrimmage or never mind 40 yards down the field, right? So they were manufacturing touches for him, but that's why his production wasn't that high. But they were just saying, like, let's give him the ball any possible way that we can, because he was really their best talent by far. I think that kind of had to do with his lack of vertical production, but I think the traits are definitely there for him to do more of that in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. I was actually texting Evan yesterday about the poor quarterback play he had to deal with. It was bad. It really does affect things. But the cool thing is I think, like, I'm excited about his potential as a returner. You know, like, he's somebody who can really affect the game that way. He made some nice returns at TCU. And, you know, I, like you said, like, a very fast guy, can affect the game in a lot of different ways, and just like a good player. And now, you know, I'd like to see him with, you know, a competent quarterback and see, like, you know what he could do from there. But overall, you know, an explosive player. You can see he just sort of jumps out on film. And, like I was saying, that return game, he can really make a difference that way. So it's going to be an exciting player to watch. Again, another speed guy.
He was a guy that I kind of slept on, his ability after the catch and his return ability and how elusive he is in the open field, because I was so concerned about watching the route releases and all the kind of the nuanced stuff. And you forget that sometimes it's just about getting the ball in an athlete's hands and seeing what he can do with it. And Rager is the type of guy that hardly ever seemed to get the first guy to make the tackle on him. And it seemed like he was jumping out of the first tackle almost instantly always. The stat from PFF about the quarterback play is that he saw just 61% of his targets as catchable targets, which was 118th out of 120 wideouts in CFB last year. So one of the worst quarterback situations out of any of these guys by far, and certainly even in the entire college football ranks. I think the biggest thing with him is that when you watch him, two things, the yards after catch are great. The other thing is that I think he's willing and able to fight through contact and go up and win high point balls, but also fight through contact down the field on things that aren't above his head. And that sometimes, especially, like, you know, we know it's guys like Cooks and Dorsett. That was a big reason why they didn't last year. They didn't stick, was because they really weren't willing to battle at the catch point. And that was something that, you know, you watch a guy like Dorsett, he's got all the speed in the world to get open, all the ability in the world to be a good receiver. But at the catch point, he was often bodied off his line if he's running down the sideline and pushed around by bigger corners or more physical guys. And I think Rager has at least got enough bark to him that he's not going to allow people to push him around too much, even though he's not the biggest of guys. I'm not saying that he's going to win by boxing out or being, like, you know, that kind of receiver, but he's at least got enough of that element of his game to him. I also just love the fact that there's a lot of different ways that you can get the ball in his hands off of scheme touches, because we did see them do so much of that. So you can add the downfield route running to end arounds or jet sweeps and some of the other things that the Patriots really like to incorporate in their offense. Now you got a super explosive guy handing the ball off to him on the jet sweep. It would be a lot of fun. So I think he's a nice complement to what they already have too, because you got the big bodied guy in Nikhil. You got Julian Edelman, who's going to work in between the numbers and the underneath part of the field. And then you get the field stretcher. You're adding that to Rager as well. Brad, were you all that concerned with the drops? I mean, was it something that, you know, you see consistently being an issue for him, or is it kind of more just circumstance that, you know, sometimes you have bad drop years?
It happened. I mean, his game against Baylor was kind of rough. I think he had like one catch and it was on a jet sweep. And then from that point on, he had like four or five drops and there were bad drops. So there are concerns there, but I think kind of what you touched on is he can make up for that more like he can make up that better than a typical 5'11 wide receiver can, because he will go up and get the ball. He will win at the catch point, whether he's contacted or whether he has to have full extension. And for me, that's the difference between him and a guy like KJ Hamler from Penn State this year, is Hamler doesn't do that. Can't do, I mean, I don't think he ever, I've seen him do it like maybe once or twice, but Rieger's done it consistently. And that's really the difference between those two. They're closely ranked because they have similar skill sets. But the one difference for me is, despite the drops, which Hamler has some too, is that I know that Rieger will go up and compete and has those full extension wins. So there are concerns, but he will make up for it at times as well.
I think you noticed probably already, Brad, that we did not include KJ Hamler on our list, on this list right now of wide receivers we're talking about. And it's exactly why you just said it. I'm just not very high on him as a player because of what you just said. It's great that you can run routes down the field and create, you know, separation with that kind of speed. But if you can't finish the play and battle through contact at the next level, then it's really no good to me, because in the NFL, you're not going to create that kind of separation on every single play. You're going to have guys in your face. You're going to have guys up in your business, and you're going to have to be able to battle through that contact. So I'm glad that you brought that up as a difference between Rieger and Hamler, because I think that that's a lot of the time that's what people are missing, and they just watch Hamler take that slant. And what game was it? Ohio State. Yeah, taking 70 yards to the house, and they're like, oh, that's, you know, that's awesome. It's like, yeah, but what happens when the guy gets up on his face and then he has to battle through the contact or go above his head to catch a pass? And Hamler just never really seems to do that, but Rieger seems to do it pretty consistently.
Absolutely, and I think that's the main. I love KJ Hamler just because the splash plays, but I don't see him as a fit with the Patriots either because of just what they've valued in the past with the position. And I think Belichick's first thing is you have to catch the football, and he is inconsistent at that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Bill always says. Everyone thinks that he's like just being a jerk when he says you got to get open and catch the ball. But at the simplest terms, that's really what playing receiver is all about. Let's move on to another Arizona State prospect here. I don't know if the Patriots would ever dream about going Arizona State back-to-back years, but we got to talk about Brandon Ayuk because I do like him as a player. But at the same time, Brad, very limited route tree, basically took over the Nikhil role after Nikhil gets drafted. It seemed like every other play was a screen. It was a lot of posts, a lot of go routes, and a lot of screens. That was pretty much his three routes that he ran with any type of regularity.
So Brandon Ayuk this year is the guy, the one player that I have lower than anybody else. You know, you always have like that one guy. Maybe for you it's KJ Hamler. For me it's Brandon Ayuk. And I want to explain a few reasons why. So For me, the things I value the most when it comes to the wide receiver position are vertical route running and yards after catch, because you can execute a 10-play drive, and that's great, but that means you have to execute 10 plays. When you're a receiver who can get vertical, catch the ball, and pick up yards after the catch, you have to execute one play at a high level, and you can score a touchdown. That's why I had DK Metcalf as my number one receiver last year, because he had that ability. Brandon Ayuk did that a lot in college, but that's essentially only what he did, kind of like what you said, limited route tree, yards after the catch, vertical wide receiver. Now, I don't like his traits to do that at the NFL level with the same success that he had doing it in college. Part of that is 4.5 flat, 40. Good, but not great. Not great for a vertical wide receiver. Second of all, he struggles with contact. Press coverage, whether he's contacting the stem, disengaging from it. But part of that struggle for me is because he has a lot of technical problems at the line of scrimmage. He struggles to get out of his stance. He struggles to move laterally. He's kind of a linear athlete. And for me, if you can't do that, you're never going to get 35 yards on the field to make a vertical reception. You're never going to run into that catch to pick up the yards after the catch. So I don't love his projection to the NFL as far as the vertical route runner, the yards of the catch guy after the vertical routes. I think he's a kind of like Nikhil Harry is going to end up being like a scheme. Well, Nikhil Harry's a rookie. It's going to be like that scheme touch type of player, screens. Maybe you give him the ball in some jet sweeps because he has enough contact rounds. He has enough looseness in space. But I don't really love his projection as a full route tree guy as much as or even a limited route tree guy like Mims, because he doesn't have the speed. He doesn't have the size.
Sounds like you just described Nikhil Harry last year. Like, it sounds like we could have just taken your take on Nikhil Harry from our show a year ago and just plugged it in for Brandon Ayuk, and it seems like Arizona State has a type.
Yeah, hey, come on. Coach Harm will get him turned around, though. I see some of that, too. Like, I don't see him losing guys with his route running expertise. It's more with his athleticism. There's another guy that has some success in the return game. Had a pretty good game against Oregon. I thought that was probably one of his best. scored a long touchdown there. But again, like, I don't see him being sort of a technician as a route runner. I think he's okay, but I don't think that's how he wins, or at least how he won in college. And I'm curious to see whether he'd be able to do that much at all in the pros. But, you know, like I said, an explosive guy who looks faster than a 4.5 on film, and, you know, made some big plays. I just don't think he's, like, you know, quite at the level of some of the other guys we've talked about.
I'm not making the same mistake twice. I made the mistake of buying enough Nikhil Harry. I'm not going to do it again with Brandon Ayuk. I will say one thing, though, is that I do think that down the field, I saw Ayuk be able to shake guys a little bit better than Nikhil could, like on like a post corner or something like that. There's a couple of different examples on tape where he runs a pretty good post corner route that really kind of shook the safety or shook the corner that was on him pretty nicely. So I think that there is sort of hope that he could develop into more of a route runner in the pros with the right coaching, obviously, and the right role in the offense. But again, it's, I believe it was 70% of his production came on go balls, posts, and screens. And that just screams the exact kind of, you know, comparison to Nikhil Harry. And then you look at his combine and you see the 4.5 flat, and you know, Adam said it looks like he plays faster than 4.5. Well, it looked like Nikhil played faster than 4.53, and that wasn't the case. So I think that it's definitely a similar kind of evaluation, and I'm glad we talked about him because they obviously like Nikhil for some reason. So I wouldn't be shocked if they like Ayuk also, but I mean, I'd be really shocked if they went Arizona State back-to-back years in the first round or in the top 50. The next guy I want to talk about, though, is one of my favorites, Michael Pittman from USC. Little LA bias there, but I think that he's not getting talked about enough either for the Patriots, just the way that he runs routes. I think he gets a lot of like contested catch guy labels because he's 6'4", and most of his highlights are him kind of just jumping over three guys and finishing that way. But when I watched his game, his route running was really impressive, I thought, underneath part of the field and kind of finding soft spots and zone coverage and that sort of thing. What do you think about Pittman, Brad?
Yeah, I like Michael Pittman. Kind of what you said, I think that he's more of a complete route runner than he's given credit for. And I think his best route is the curl route. And part of that is because I think he has pretty nimble feet. I think he's explosive once he gets his body turned to come back towards the quarterback. And kind of what you alluded to is I love his ability to find that curl window, which is kind of like a lost art with some of these boundary receivers in college because so much is focused, not much is focused on the intermediate game as there once was. So I really like that projection as far as him being an X receiver in the NFL because I know he can get vertical because of his size and his strength, but I also like his work in the intermediate. On top of that, some of the other aspects of the position that we've talked about previously with guys like Denzel Mims, really good blocker. I like his ability to get off press coverage because I think he's really strong. He's a high character kid. He has NFL bloodlines, productive, had it like maybe the best game a receiver has had this year. Prospect has had this year
against Utah
was unbelievable.
Yeah. Against like an NFL secondary too, yeah. like three or four guys in there that are going to be in the NFL. Yeah.
So I really like his potential. I think he's a second round pick. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe if the Patriots move back, they might be in a position to really capitalize on him and get good value. But I think he's a strong prospect. I think 23 might be a little rich, but if they find a way to get back in round two, that'd be a great spot for him.
Yeah, I was watching the Utah film and it crazy. Showed a little bit of everything. I'm like, I know he can do more than this, but his contested catches plays are ridiculous. Like, he's really quite good at that. And he's not slow, you know, like I think sometimes people assume a guy with his skill set is sort of challenged speed wise, but I don't think he's slow. And, you know, he made a play in that Utah game when he went deep. And he's tough, man. I remember we've talked about him a lot, Evan. When I first saw him, I was over at a friend's house watching Pac-12 games at night or whatever. And he was just destroying it. And I was like, who's this Pittman guy? And you already knew about him, of course. But I mean, he's somebody who can really make an impact in the league just, you know, with his skill set. I think he's a terrific player.
I'm glad you mentioned the curl route, Brad, because I definitely think that's his best route that he runs. And yeah. Everybody just assumes the jump ball fade is the best route that he runs. But he had that one play. I forget who it was against, but the safety rotated down to take care of a jet sweep. It was actually a fake jet motion. And Pittman just kind of curled it right around the safety, you know, right around his back. And it was just such a perfect spacing example of this is how you run the route and get the right spacing and find the soft spot. And he brought himself back to the quarterback and made himself really friendly to hit that window. And it just, he strikes me as a guy that, like I said off the top, that gets labeled a bunch as like the contested catch downfield receiver. I actually think that he's more of a possession receiver than anything, especially at the intermediate level. And that's what makes me excited about his projection possibly in the Patriots offense, is that they don't really they haven't had an X receiver in a while that you can say is a chain mover, is a guy that they can throw a 10-yard, 8-yard curl to and have him, you know, hit it right at the sticks, or they can throw a nice back shoulder or, you know, something consistent to him, a slant. You know, Josh Gordon was like kind of the closest thing that they tried to get out of that with him, but obviously the consistency just wasn't there for him. But I think overall Pittman's the type of guy that can be an intermediate threat just as much as he can be a vertical threat. And I think that that sort of gets lost in translation sometimes when people talk about him, because the jump balls are just really exciting and awesome to watch.
I think if you remember Brandon LaFell's 2014 season, could be Michael Pittman on a consistent year-to-year basis, especially when it comes to in the Patriots offensive system.
I think a lot of Patriots fans would take that. That's the exact kind of that they've been missing, is just sort of that consistent, steady X receiver that, you know, that you can rely on week to week. All right, let's get into some of these. We're more kind of gearing this towards the day two guys now. Van Jefferson from Florida, another guy that I think a lot of people weren't really necessarily on during the season, during the college football season, now is an extremely popular name, especially to the Patriots. I think the best release package in the draft. Is that safe to say, Brad?
I agree.
So I think that would really, with Van, the question is always going to be with him, is he fast enough to win over the top? I don't know if it necessarily matters the way that he runs releases, though.
So he's not fast enough to win over the top. I think that in like a straight line speed, that's not really there. And that's not really his game. That's not really what he would be asked to do. Like you said, I love him on the boundary because of his ability to beat press coverage. He's really shifty. He's really like elusive when it comes to those lateral movements, can create separation and still in his stem because he can move so explosive laterally. And then on top of that, he's really refined with his hand usage. So as far as his stems goes and beating press coverage, I love his projection. On top of that, one of the more fluid, nuanced route breaks, and that comes on double moves, but it also comes on single moves, creating separation, understanding where the defensive back is, how he needs to break, and how he needs to alter the angle of his break in order to get open. I think is really, really special. He's only, you know, average size, probably average athleticism when it comes to NFL wide receiver, but if you want that third down chain mover who's going to play on the outside, I think he's going to do that for you. Not the deep third guy, but an intermediate presence. And, you know, for whatever team that drafts him, you're getting like a six to eight year, two contract, third and Van Jefferson.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good way of putting it. That he's just such a good route runner. You know, like he's almost as good as anyone in this class when it comes to that. And, you know, I honestly don't care if he's not a burner when he can get open like that. You know, there are guys who are faster than him that won't get open as consistently because they're just not as polished as he is. He's just got, you know, you can tell he's the son of an NFL player sometimes because he's just got that sort of wiliness to him. He's a really tough cover, even for some of the best cornerbacks he faced, you know, in the SEC.
Yeah, I think that you can just watch that LSU game against Derek Stingley and you can basically just put that tape on and be like, all right, this guy's an NFL wide receiver. I don't really need to see much more. I think the coolest thing about his game is how he'll run the same release five different times and put five different routes on it. You know, like he'll run the same release and one will be a fade or a back shoulder. The next one will be a slant and the next one will be a post. And the quarterback just has no idea what's coming, even though the footwork looks exactly the same. So that whenever you see that, I think that's a lot of kind of fun and just cool to see a guy at the collegiate level already stacking moves and kind of coming up with a plan. You know, he goes into every single matchup and every single game with, you can already tell that he's watched tape on the guy that he's going to face, and he understands exactly what he's going to have to do to beat that guy. Even a guy as talented as Stingley really had a lot of trouble with him because of the fact that Van just kept on changing up the route but running a very similar release every single time that he does it. So I think that even though he's not the fastest guy to win over the top, the way that he attacks angles and he gets defensive backs, you know, to move off their spots and open up their hips in the wrong directions, he might be able to just win in a little bit of a vertical sense solely off of that. No, he's not going to blow by anybody or anything like that, but just because of the way that he sets up angles and he understands sort of just the different types of leverages and angles of the game, that's what you want to look at with a receiver like him, is just that expert level knowledge of just football. Oftentimes is as simple as just a game of angles. And that's exactly what Van Jefferson is able to do. I think the question is with him, Brad, is just, first of all, do you see him? You said you like him on the boundary. I like him on the boundary too. I know a lot of people like him in the slot because of his kind of his shiftiness and his elusiveness, but I think that kind of takes away from the press coverage aspect and his route releases. So do you think that he's going to be an X? Like, I mean, where do you think exactly he's going to play?
I would want him at X. Kind of like you said, I want a defense to test him when it comes to press coverage. The pacing that he runs his routes with along the boundary. So like one of the big things that I look at when it comes to boundary receiver, kind of like touching on that pacing, is, you know, say you're running a 10-yard out. You don't want to just sprint 10 yards and then cut to the sideline. You kind of want to set it up that you're going to change your pace to the point where you're accelerating to get the defensive back or the corner to open up, and then you break it off. So that way they're thinking he's about to go downfield. There's the acceleration to go downfield, and then you snap the route off. Stuff like that those like small nuances that you see, that's going to be a little bit wasted, like you said, in the slot, because it's not that pure man-to-man coverage, generally speaking, when they're aligned inside. And I think you're kind of taken away from his release package and his pacing and a lot of those type of small nuances that he's developed by playing so much on the boundary in college, that I don't want to change kind of like what we already know, I guess.
A lot of NFL receivers and college receivers would benefit from learning that pacing. Yeah, I think that a lot of guys, I keep on bringing up Philip Dorsett in the show, but if that guy knew how to pace a route, he would be a lot better receiver than he is now, because he's the guy that runs a full-on sprint 10 yards and then tries to cut. It just doesn't work out the same way. Let's get to some of these big-bodied athletes kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum here, from Van Jefferson, with Chase Claypool, and then we'll get to Bryan Edwards too. But let's start with Chase Claypool. This one is a really difficult kind of one to peg for me, Brad, because I don't know what he is. I don't know, is he just going to be an outside contested catch guy, or is he going to be able to, so many people are projecting him to play like a move tight end or a flex tight end role because of the blocking and the physicality. Where do you see him playing, and do you think that he has kind of the ability to, you know, blossom in the NFL and not just out-athlete everybody like he did in college?
So he's very, very interesting, because kind of like you said, there's a big spectrum for him as a prospect, where he could be basically nothing or he could be good, or he could change positions and essentially be nothing or be good. So it's kind of like a big, like, we don't know where he's going to land within that. I think he's a boundary receiver. He has great size. He's played that almost exclusively in college. I think he's fluid enough to do it. Former basketball player. He's one of the best basketball players in Canada when he was in high school. So very, really fluid mover, especially for his size at 237 pounds or whatever he was at the combine. And I think he showed that at the Senior Bowl as well. He can get open, especially against zone coverages. He's strong. You put him at the X. I don't know if that's he's not going to be your dominant number one target, top of the passing offense, but as a complementary piece in an offense that might run through the slot or might run through the running back, then that would be his best position. Now, if he goes to a team that wants to move him inside, I think that is going to need some development, because it's a completely different skill set needed to play there. That could be kind of like, essentially take a redshirt year, take a year, kind of learn the position, learn the differences. And then if he does that, I think his potential there is really solid because of his size and his athleticism and his fluidity. So I think as a boundary receiver, he could play year one. depending on the team. And then if you're going to move him to that kind of that move tight end, big slot role, I think you're talking about down the line more so when it comes to production.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching this film and, you know, he didn't seem like a burner or anything like that, but I checked his combine numbers and he ran like a 4.4, you know, 40. And you know, I think, you know, at least at the beginning, if he's just a contested catch guy, it's not the worst thing in the world, because I think he's got the physical makeup of being a real good red zone target. And so, you know, I think he can be that. You know, I think I'd probably keep him at receiver, not move him to tight end. I think that's just a lot to ask, like, for to have them play at that position, you know, in the NFL, make that transition. I think that would be tough for him. I'm not saying he couldn't do it. But I think, you know, he's somebody that knows how to use his body in contested catch situations. And, you know, he has some skill there. So, you know, obviously I don't, you know, there's a lot of things he can't do, but he, you know, athletically he puts himself in a lot of good situations. And I think he could be like a real red zone target once he gets into the league.
Yeah, some of the red zone reps are the ones that sort of show the short area quickness and the ability to maybe make that move inside, you know, the ability to, like, you know, attack an off coverage guy and with the rocker step and kind of break inside. He had a couple of touchdowns like that last year where he just kind of won with body positioning and quickness at the top of the route. So maybe he can do something like that. I always think personally that expecting a guy to move from outside receiver to tight end or slot receiver, it sounds all well and good, but it's often a much harder transition to make than people expect. And I never really have seen it successfully done or implemented that often at the NFL level, because it's just such a different game. You know, it's completely different world living in the slot or in between the numbers than it is playing on the outside. I think a lot of people expected the Patriots to do that with N'Keal Harry, was to move him more to like a big slot, you know, move tight end type of role, and they have shied away from it completely. So I think that tells you what they think about doing stuff like that with a player. But I do think Claypool can win on the outside. I think he's more fluid, like Brad said, than people give him credit for. He certainly showed that in his combine testing as well. And the ability to go above the rim is pretty cool too. You know, that's always going to be fun to watch and a good skill to have. And it's not necessarily just that he can jump above and catch it over, you know, a guy or two guys or whatever. It's also just the catch radius in general to, you know, get off target throws outside of his frame, back inside and things of that nature that I think are really impressive. The next guy that I mentioned was Bryan Edwards. It was different, but also the same in terms of just size, speed, physicality type of comp. I know that a lot of people get some N'Keal Harry vibes from him too when you watch him, Brad. But I think Bryan Edwards, if he had tested at the combine, we'd be talking about him as a player that was a lot higher on boards than he is right now.
So Edwards is really interesting because almost 50% of his production receiving yards wise came on screens or fly sweep. Which, you know, if I just say that to you, it's concerning, right? That's like that's a huge red flag. However, for most of the season, or for part of the season at least, his quarterback play was not great, and you kind of understand why he was pretty much on getting the ball on screens and fly sweeps. But when you look at his past seasons, especially when he played with Deebo Samuel, and even back when he was a sophomore when he was 18 years old, he can run a full route tree, I think, for as much as you can expect for a guy his size. Pretty flexible mover for his size, like I said. Can get vertical, intermediate, kind of like all three level type of route runner. I'm not sure that he is like a top of the line alpha type of guy, but I do like his overall projection as a complementary piece, because I think he's a three level winner. Pretty consistent hands. Has suffered some production issues because playing the same offense as Deebo Samuel and then not having great quarterback play for a decent amount of a senior year. But I think he's going to be a better pro than college player. And like you said, kind of bummed that he couldn't do the Senior Bowl or the combine. But I think, like, if he was able to compete in Mobile, especially against the corner group there, he might be a potential round two draft pick.
Yeah, this guy was sort of late to him. really like his film. Like he has some wild plays in there. You know, he has some like pretty like jaw dropping plays on some of those on film, like the long touchdown against Missouri where he beats the entire secondary to the end zone. He makes like a really nice sort of crazy grab against Tennessee too. I just think, you know, he's an impressive looking athlete. And you're right, a lot of those plays were, you know, jet sweeps and stuff like that. And I feel like he's got like good potential. It'll be interesting to see where he lands. But I think, you know, he's just athletically, you know, in sort of the class of some of the guys that are way ahead of him. He's just a big, strong, fast athlete, and I think he can make a lot of plays.
I think it was the fly sweep against Alabama that was the first play in my thread of his. It's like right in front of Nick Saban. He just throws a guy to a ground with a stiff arm, and you see the look of disgust on Saban's face because of the effort on the tackler's part. But I think that Edwards, you know, you show that play first to people, and they're like, okay, great. You know, he can take a fly sweep. We already have that with N'Keal Harry. What can he bring that's different from that? I think the route running at the intermediate level is something that he could probably do at a better level than N'Keal can. He has a nice kind of savvy about him coming over across the numbers and in between the numbers and ability to sort of navigate and run through contact and, you know, peel a route off or change the course of his route just a little bit to get around a defender or find an open pocket of space or something of that nature. But really what stands out to him is the size, speed, athleticism kind of trio there. And I talked to him at the combine, and he said that he was really bummed, honestly, that he wasn't able to participate because he was expecting to blow it out of the water. You know, he really was expecting to have a huge combine and run like somewhere in the high 4.4s, you know, 4.5, between a 4.5 and a 4.9, he said, at I think it's 6'3", 215 pounds or something like that. So that would have been a ridiculous time if he was able to do that. So I think that there's a lot of comparisons on the surface to a guy like N'Keal Harry. When you dig a little bit deeper, maybe, you know, there's a little bit more there in terms of route running with Bryan Edwards. Brett, what did you see from him in terms of, like, releases at the line of scrimmage against press and that type of stuff? Is there anything there to work with, in your opinion?
I think there definitely is. Kind of what you said, I think he's a pretty savvy, smart player, super experienced. Also, he's still young. He was a freshman. He was like 17 years old. So I think there's a lot to work with just from the fact that he's a pretty experienced guy with good footwork. I think there's enough lateral agility there as well. And I also think during his stem, he does a really good job of incorporating his hands. You're not really going to contact him, hold him up too much. So I think not necessarily – at the line of scrimmage, he did it as much as you would have liked, but in his stem, he did. So I think there's a pretty good amount to work with when it comes to his hands as well.
Awesome. All right. Last one here. Thanks for sticking it out with us, Brad. I really appreciate it. We've been going almost an hour here. Last one, I promise. KJ Hill from Ohio State. I feel like we got to talk about this guy because he's essentially running an Edelman-like route tree for Ohio State. Absolutely eight in the slot, 201 career receptions. I think the coolest part about that stat is not necessarily that it's the Buckeyes' career record, because it's not a great wide receiver school, if we're being honest. It's not like they had a bunch of really good guys there. Am I missing a few? You're making faces at me like I missed a few there. Who you got at Ohio State that you really like?
David Boston.
Okay, David Boston was good. All right,
I'll give Santonio Holmes.
Santonio Holmes. I'm just saying, we're not talking about like Randy Moss and T.O. coming from that school, right? You know, we're going a little tier down from there. Regardless, though, I think the coolest part about that stat is that he's on a team with Terry McLaurin, with Paris Campbell, with all these other really good receivers, and he still found a way to find his own production in that mix.
Yeah, on top of those guys, Terry Glenn and Joey Galloway went to Ohio State. Terry, and they both won the Biletnikoff back-to-back years, 94-95. What I like about KJ Hill, like on top of, like you said, all-time leader in receptions, when you're the all-time leader in receptions at a blue-blood school, obviously you have good hands, right? Soft hands, consistent hands. He's not going to drop many passes. And you even see it on film sometimes, going back to 2018 when Dwayne Haskins was a quarterback. He made this like one-handed adjustment catch that was thrown behind him. He was running, he was wide open. Just turned around, grabbed it with one hand, turned and kept going. It was like, did he just like, do you just do that? It's like nonchalant.
Yeah.
Yeah, very casual. And he did that in a rep at the Senior Bowl during day three of practices as well. Just like, just sticky, sticky hands. But on top of that, I think he gets open pretty much at will. Played a lot in the slot this past year. So I think that's where he projects to at best. And only ran like a 4.640, not great speed, but I think that's what you saw on tape. He just understands how to get open. A lot like that Van Jefferson and Jerry Jeudy, you know, that idea is he knows how to get open. Really, really shifty. He'll set a defensive back up one way and just embarrass him going back the other way. You know, so he's probably a guy who's quicker than fast. And he's just going to be a guy in the slot who just gets open. He can hit those horizontal breaks. He's going to get 10 yards, get you your first down. A lot like Jefferson, he's a little bit older. He's going to be 23. Actually, Jefferson's going to be 24 by week one. KJ Hill will be 23. So a little bit of advanced age. So I don't know if he has and as I mentioned, not elite athleticism, but so his ceiling might not be that high, but he might be the highest floor prospect among pretty much any receiver prospect in this class, or other than Hunter Renfro, probably in the last two classes too.
Yeah. I like him a lot because that phrase spatial awareness, I think KJ Hill really has it. Like, he's one of those guys that when he goes out for a pass, he'll know where the defenders are, you know, and he's really good at sitting down and finding the soft spot in the zone. He's just somebody who gets the mental side of it down. So, you know, route running wise, I think he's good. And then, but really just really knowing where the defenders are and going where they're not is, I think, what he's best at. And he's a natural for the slot. He's actually not bad after the catch either.
Yeah, his ball skills are really great. You know, snappy hands. He really moves the ball away from coverage and stuff like that really well, too, and tucks it really well. When we were talking to him at the combine, there was actually a group of Patriots reporters talking to him, and he said that the Ohio State offense actually has a lot of schematic similarities to what they run in New England. And one of the things he said in particular that really stood out was that the Ohio State coaching staff watched Julian Edelman and took a bunch of the routes that Julian Edelman ran and put it into their system for KJ Hill. So they kind of had the Edelman type route tree in mind for him almost right away. I think more than any other receiver that I watched this year, he took as many angles as anybody else at the top of the route. I mean, this is a guy that just dropped guys left and right on tape from the ankle breakers. So he's certainly a dude that knows how to get open, definitely knows how to work the top of the route. Like everybody's been saying, not the fastest guy in the world. I don't think it necessarily matters that much, though, because he's not going to win like that anyway. Maybe it does, though, kind of matter in the fact that he's not necessarily the best after the catch because of it. Like, I don't think that he's a super explosive guy after the catch, but he's really slippery after the catch. So maybe he makes up for it with the elusiveness. But overall, just a guy that really, like Brad was saying, a floor prospect that you don't really need to coach him all that much once he gets to New England. I think that they've had some trouble with, you know, getting these raw guys in there and having to develop the receiver position. I think KJ Hill is sort of like already a finished product that they can just draft in the third round with one of those comp picks maybe and just put him in next year. He's going to be perfectly fine. Brad, thanks so much for sticking with us. I want to just really quickly, I don't know if you saw this, but we've talked about this before. The Patriots promoted Mick Lombardi from assistant quarterbacks coach to wide receivers coach. So now he is taking over for Joe Judge. It's for the second time. I know you're already shaking your head. I'm so glad. The second time in a row that they got a guy that has never coached wide receivers coaching the position when they have N'Keal Harry. They have another rookie probably coming in at some point this offseason. What the heck, man? What the heck?
Jacoby Myers, too.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. If I could get inside Belichick's head, I would. But I don't know when it comes to that. I mean, Troy Brown's still going to be the assistant receivers coach. I don't understand why not just promote him to wide receivers coach and then bring in another wide receiver guy to be, the assistant, have two actual wide receiver guys, not splitting time between, like Joe Judge did, between special teams and running a wide receiver room, which is hard enough to run special teams. It's hard enough to run a position group. I can't imagine having to do both and really just having to rely on one guy to do it. So I wish that they would just go with a regular, two wide receiver coaches or former players to do it, kind of like the 49ers had Miles Austin and Wes Welker. That would have been great, but like I said, if I could get in Belichick's head, I would. I'd give you the answer, but I do not know.
It's tough to doubt him, right? You know, I understand people are listening to this and rolling their eyes like, all the these three Jamokes know better than Bill Belichick about what's best for his coaching staff. But with that being said, he basically named Joe Judge the wide receivers coach last year to get Joe Judge a head coaching job. Like that was essentially the move, was like, he knew that if he was a special teams only type of guy, that he probably wasn't going to get that consideration that he ended up getting because he moved to wide receivers coach. And I remember watching ESPN or something like that when the Joe Judge news came down and it says Patriots wide receivers coach Joe Judge named the Giants head coach. And I was like, he was a wide receivers coach by title only. Like, this guy was not a wide receivers coach, all right? If anything, it was Troy Brown behind the scenes. Troy Brown's the guy that goes up to that virtual room, they call it, that's basically just like 20 yards of turf that they can just run routes and kind of learn the beginning stages of the route and whatnot. Troy Brown was the one taking N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers and the new guys from Mohamed Sanu, you know, those types of guys. He was the one taking those guys up to the virtual room and really drilling the wide receiver portions of it. We did see Joe Judge out with those guys a lot at practice, though, working with receivers in, you know, the team portions, the team drills and stuff like that. Jed Fish is a guy that's now going to coach quarterbacks, apparently. They're really hot on him right now. So he's going to coach quarterbacks, along with McDaniels, and it's going to be Mick Lombardi at wide receivers. But that really grinded my gears that they couldn't go out there and get someone with some experience.
Chad O'Shea.
Chad O'Shea. Anyone. Chad O'Shea would have been great. Obviously, you know, with the Patriots ties. But just anyone that has some legitimate wide receiver coaching experience, whether it's at the college or the NFL level, that can really help these young guys along. But I digress. I just wanted to bring that up because I saw it yesterday. I thought of Brad because I know that he was on that last year before anybody else with Joe Judge splitting time there. Brad, is there anything that you want to tease and you can tell people where you can follow you and learn all the wide receiver shit that I've learned from you? And
So the Twitter page is at BradKelly17. You can follow the work at cover1.net or profootballnetwork.com. I think my Twitter bio, I have the links and you know, the Twitter pages for all the sites that I write for, and I obviously post all my articles there. So that feed is basically just wide receiver film and articles.
Awesome. Brad's YouTube page, if you guys don't know about it, that's where I get a lot of my All 22 from. It's pretty awesome. It's just an archive of all the top wide receiver prospects from the All 22 angle, so you can see them run the routes down the field. You learn so much more about it, obviously, than watching it on the TV broadcast, especially with the receiver position. So that's really key. And he's got a couple of the top quarterbacks on there as well, and some offensive line tape that I was watching the other day. So that's all really good stuff. Adam, is there anything that you got going on that you want to tease? Or
nope, just draft, and you know, if anything local pops up, we'll be all over that. But speaking of things you can watch that can be kind of fun, I like watching the Skycam stuff on YouTube because it's like you're in the game, you know. You're right there, you can sort of feel the crowd. That's another one I like.
Yeah, that is very cool as well. And on clnsmedia.com, make sure to go check out my Patriots Big Board. Tomorrow is 11 through 20, so we're starting to get to some of the real meat of the draft here in the first round, top 50 type prospects. Few guys I think that I could see that made that list that might actually end up being the first pick that the Patriots make in next week. Now we're down to it, one more week to go. And I also just want to say, I hope everybody out there is staying safe, staying healthy, social distancing. Don't be Dak Prescott. Don't have dinner parties. Stay away from everybody, because if we don't do that, then we're not going to have football this fall. And I know that we're all going to be really bummed out when that time comes around. And we would wish that we did all the right things over the summer so that we can have football in the fall. But until next time, signing off for Adam Kirchin, I'm Evan Lazar. Thanks once again to Brad Kelly for coming on with us. And thank you for listening.